You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two on the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app. Tune in, iHeartRadio, wherever you might have found us. Thank you. We appreciate it. We're going to have Emory Hunt coming up in a few minutes. He's at FBallGamePlan on Twitter. He's down in Mobile, Alabama this week. He's covering the Senior Bowl, and he's going to give us some insight as to the players that have had good weeks, bad weeks, who we can watch, and how this is really the beginning of the start of the scouting season for a lot of NFL teams. They obviously scout players throughout the year, but this is where it really starts to heat up in Mobile, Alabama. And it gives us, Corey, some sense of who the rookies are that will pop in the draft and what players that we're going to start to keep an eye on. We can never really rank them truly until they land with an NFL team and know their role, but it's the players that we even start to scout a little bit for some of these dynasty leagues, and we understand who might be going first, second, and third.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, this is the time where you get to see the kind of talent that the player possesses, the kind of skill set they have, different things you're looking for. Like you said, after the NFL draft, you'll really get a good handle on it. But the next couple of months between here and the combine, you know, you kind of get a chance to see what the players are on the field. Obviously, you'll start to hear reports about some of the red flags, whether it be character-wise or personal issues and stuff like that. So, interesting time of year as offensive coordinators move around and executives change and coaching staff change. You also start to develop this new crop of NFL talent. And I think that we're really going to see another year of a heavy influx of top talent at the running back position.
And Scott, there's several facets to this as we go through for fantasy football owners in a lot of keeper leagues. So we got Senior Bowl, combine, free agency, draft, and then it really starts to come together. As Corey said, the coaching carousel, especially the coordinator positions on NFL teams, are really going to start to put this puzzle together.
Yeah, you know, it's all pretty much a calendar. And for a lot of people, fantasy football is year-round, following it, especially if you play in a dynasty league or if you want to be prepped for the upcoming season. So, you know, this is all what we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, like guys like Alvin Kamara, seeing them through the process and wondering where they will land and if you could have snagged them in your draft somewhere really would have given you a huge edge. It's not like we didn't have the goods on Todd Gurley going into the year, but when somebody like Alvin Kamara really could have swung your team one way or the other. So we will talk to Emory Hunt, who's been in Mobile all week long. We'll just ask him some quick questions about quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. He had an interesting article about an NFL development league. I'll ask him some questions about that and get some thoughts.
It's called the SEC. It's called the Southeastern Conference, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the talk of the XFL, and we're actually going to get into that later this hour. We'll have Emory on, but Scott was and I were talking during one of the breaks about the XFL. And now he's going to have a competitive league, but it could just as easily have been the NFL setting up a developmental league, Scott.
Yeah, like Corey said, though, it's like the best come from college football anyway. So you either make it right out of college or you don't.
Yeah, we'll come back, talk to Emory in a couple of minutes.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us this morning. We got Emory Hunt coming up here in a minute. He's in Mobile, Alabama. You can catch him on Twitter
at F-Ball Game Plan. He does a lot of coverage. He does the Sunday Game Day show, Fantasy Lineup Lock Live. That's each and every Sunday game days during the season. He did that with Corey. He did it with Dane Martinez and Maria Marino. So he was there every Sunday. He's the CEO and founder and analyst at Football Game Plan. So he's the czar of the playbook. He's a member of many different football organizations, Football Writers Association. He had some good stuff this week on both the Senior Bowl. And I'll say this, above all, you got to follow him on Instagram and on Twitter because he's got some incredible pictures of food from the greater Mobile, Alabama area. Emery, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you having me on.
What's better, the food or the football?
Well, they kind of go hand in hand, man. Hey, sometimes I forget I run a football account instead of a food account, but you can't pass up good food when you see it displayed in front of you.
That's good stuff.
What's going on, my man?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's up, sir? How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Scotty, go
ahead. Morning, Emery. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. How's it going?
Good, good. Now that we got you on, it's good.
Yeah. So, Emery, I'll start with the obvious position that people have been talking about. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield have really been the two big names that people are talking about. I think it's more of the same with Allen, a little bit of inaccuracy, but a lot of stuff that people have become enamored with, how big he is and how at times he looks like he could be the best quarterback in this draft. And then with Baker Mayfield, same old, same old. Accurate, competitive, the whole thing. So do you get a sense that either guy has made a bigger impact than the other?
No, I think it's more of what the same for those guys coming into this All-Star game. I just find it funny that, and I'm glad I'm here because you get to see what happens juxtaposed to what people tweet about what they think happened. Because to be honest, Allen looked like Allen looked all season long, very hot and cold, strong arm, inaccurate. We get all that. Mayfield showed exactly what he showed to me on film and also more exclusively in that bowl game against Georgia in the Rose Bowl. When it's a tight window throw, he's not going to make it. A guy has to either be wide open or easily defined as open for him to feel comfortable throwing the football. So it'll be interesting to see in this game when, again, using pro hash marks, when the pressure comes quicker, how many sacks he takes, how many times he's willing to throw to a covered guy, which we know that's all you're going to see in the NFL. If he's not able to do that, then people are just seeing what they want to see about this kid.
Emery, when you take a look at running back, Rashard Penny has had some questions about his size, although, you know, being 5'11", 220, is, you know, not too bad to me. We've seen a lot of NFL running backs register at, you know, at those levels, but also the kind of opponents he faced. How important is this game for Rashard Penny and his draft stock?
I don't think it's as important. You got to remember, this is just practice, and this is, at its core, it's supposed to be an All-Star game. This is a guy that has 2+ years of phenomenal film on display, and it's tough for running backs to get into a really good groove in these All-Star games. Because they're so heavily focused on the passing game, because that's what you see most of the time being ran in practice. They're trying to get the receivers a lot of work. There's more receivers and running backs on both teams, and you don't really want to run guys into the ground. So this game, as long as he doesn't come out injured, it's a win for him because he has phenomenal tape, and I think he's going to be one of the top backs in his draft class.
E, what's going on, my man? I want to double back and hop back in a little bit and talk to you about Baker Mayfield. So, you say trouble making those throws in the NFL, and that's kind of the same thing that you've seen this week while they're on the field. Now, would you say that this is the area that he can improve at between now and the combine or in his possible pro day, or do you think this is something that's going to haunt him throughout his first NFL season also?
I think this is going to haunt him. This is his game, if we're being honest, is very similar to Case Keenum. Now, when it's not there initially, he can break contain, extend the play a little bit, and then find an open guy. That's his game. That's Case Keenum's game. I wouldn't take that number one overall or in the top five in the first round. So this is just what he's going to have to be used to doing unless he decides, hey, I'm going to just stay in the pocket and try to make quicker decisions. But that's not his game. That's not what makes him Baker Mayfield, and that's not what makes Case Keenum Case Keenum. You have to be able to create off script. He does a great job of that, but if it's not there, He's going to take a lot of sacks and throw some bad interceptions. I just, in particular, one drill yesterday, you saw these guys going on a half rollout, just warm-ups, half rollout and try to throw the ball to the sideline. So they're rolling, and granted, they're rolling to their left and their right-handed passers, but ball wobbled and died before it hit the bottom of the number. So those, and it was only maybe like 2 mile-an-hour wind out there. So those things you kind of look at and say, you know what, man, it may be tough for him to get that velocity that you need to make all of the throws from a 1-2-3-4-5 plant and throw standpoint. If he breaks contain and guys fly open, it's a scramble drill, absolutely he'll thrive there.
Okay.
So, you know, on that front, and it's not just about Baker, but about a lot of the Big 12 players in general. In recent drafts, the Big 12 has gotten hammered and really dropped in terms in relation to some of the other Power Fives. Pac-12, SEC, and even ACC have gotten far more players drafted. It's in part, I would imagine, a result of the way they play in the Big 12. It's difficult to evaluate their offensive linemen. Their quarterbacks are throwing, in some instances, 7-on-7 drills during the course of a game, and the wide receivers have not had consistent success. Do you think that trend continues, or have some of the Big 12 players shown themselves to be more bankable NFL talents?
It depends on the traits that you possess. Case in point, Patrick Mahomes last year had all of the physical tools that Josh Allen has, but he also has the accuracy, he also has the pocket toughness, he also has the ability to make a tight throw and be accurate with that and not turn the ball over. I think that's the difference. You have to have those traits if you're going to play in a spread offense. That's why his talent superseded the system he came out of. So when you look at a guy like Baker Mayfield, when you look at even a Geno Smith, when you look at Landry Jones, the windows are so big in the Big 12 because of the wide hash marks. You could essentially spread the field. So guys, you turn zone coverage into man coverage, and you're easily able to place the ball wherever you need to be. I mean, think about it. James Washington, a wide receiver for Oklahoma State, how many times just on highlights have we seen him run a post across air wide open, and Mason Rudolph is able to drop the ball in the bucket? You know, how often you're going to see that in the NFL? Again, that's the difference. And when the hash marks become closer like they are in the NFL, the pressure comes faster. Therefore, you have to be able to stand there, deliver quickly and accurately in the face of that pressure. If you can't do that, if you're not accustomed to seeing that or doing that, and these guys have it over the course of their 3 to 4 years or 5 years they've been playing college football in the Big 12, they're going to struggle to make that transition initially at the National Football League level.
James Washington of Oklahoma State, you know, some of the critics have said that, you know, that maybe he's not a, he's a product of the offense and the lack of defensive competition that he's faced. You know, what's your opinion on him, and is there anything that you think, you know, coaches might be able to glean from talking to him and spending some time with him this weekend?
This guy looks like a pro. When you talk about off the bus ready, he's off the bus ready. I mean, one of the strength and conditioning coaches at Oklahoma State, pay that man whatever he wants, because he has these guys physically looking the part. And when he gets out there on the field, you see acceleration, see explosiveness. He's been one of the better receivers out here all week long. His game actually reminds me of Chris Chambers when he played with the Miami Dolphins. Just an explosive guy, great hands. Don't worry about the height, because he has long arms. He's able to attack the ball at his highest point. And he also shows the ability to not only track the football, but track it with acceleration. So he's able to pull away from defensive backs while tracking the football. And that's how he's able to end up with those big-time catches deep down the field. So in my opinion, he's a legit deep threat in your offense. I think he's going to be a phenomenal pro.
E, let me ask you this right quick before you get out of here. I was watching some Senior Bowl practice the other day, and they were talking with Mike Tannenbaum. He spoke about how back 10 years to 15 years ago, you came into the NFL, you had to play the NFL game. Now you're seeing coordinators and coaches meet these players more halfway. Any of these quarterbacks out there, if a coordinator takes them on and wants to adapt to their style of play, can any of these two guys, the big guys, Allen and Mayfield, be successful?
I think maybe more Mayfield than Allen because of Mayfield's track record of being successful. We haven't seen Allen be successful for the same period of time. So I just don't like how the conversation is going with these two quarterbacks this game, you know?
Yeah. Well, good stuff out of Emery Hunt. You can find him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. He does shows regularly here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey and I, I'm sure, will be doing combine and draft work with him as we get further into this draft process. E, have a good game today and safe travels home.
Appreciate that, guys.
All right. Well, we'll talk to him again soon. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that and some of the prop bets for the Super Bowl after the break.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we'll try and chop up that Emery Hunt interview and tweet it out a little bit later, just so you can have it on demand. Wanted to switch it up and talk a little bit about the NBA, because we're going to be getting more into that in the coming weeks and months as we are now basically at the halfway point of the season. We got the All-Star game coming up in a couple of weeks. But obviously the big news from last night, Scott, is that Boogie Cousins appears to have torn his Achilles tendon and he is out for the remainder of the year. He just got through a game the other night. He has been the first guy since 1972 to score more than 45 points and more than 20 rebounds in one game. And that double kind of wacky double overtime victory. He's been dominant for the last couple of weeks in particular, let alone the entire season. The Pelicans look like they were finally starting to figure it out with Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins, and now this happens.
Yeah, and very disappointing for the fan base. They were finally smelling a playoff berth and contention here. And, you know, from a fantasy perspective, it's a big loss. You know, there's no real way to replace him. They really don't have anybody to step up here and, you know, do the job that you say, okay, I have to pick up. Jrue Holiday will probably be asked to pick up, you know, a little bit of something here, along with Darius Miller, you know, Omar Sheik maybe. Maybe Rajon Rondo will have to shoot a little bit more. But there's really no way to replace him from a fantasy or Pelicans perspective. And then when you look at Cousins, even in a keeper dynasty league, you know, they're saying 6 to 10 months to recover here. And Achilles injuries have really ruined the careers of some players. Wesley Matthews has never been the same.
It's brutal. To his point, Corey, this is not just a look, it's nearly February, and this doesn't mean that he's going to be fine and dandy for tip-off next season. This could be, you know, we might be looking at a year before he's at full strength, or at least, you know, could be 10 months before he's ready to go full throttle.
Yeah, you may not see a possibility. You may not see Boogie till about December, the end of this year. You know, maybe after the first month of the NBA season the 2019 NBA season starts, could be when you see Boogie Cousins. I would think he would be back before next season's All Star break. But definitely a tough blow. And for fantasy owners, I think Scott nailed it. You see the usage rate of Anthony Davis. Usage rate of Anthony Davis will go up. The usage rate of Jrue Holiday will also go up. You know, irrelevant guys like Dante Cunningham and stuff like that, they're really not going to do much for your fantasy lineup. They'll just end up soaking up some more of the minutes, but you will see AD and Holiday take over that scoring load. But it's not, you know, I'm upset that happened to Mr. Cousins.
I mean, yeah, Scott, he was up for a new contract too, so
yeah,
you know, that might hurt him in that regard as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously these players have been experiencing a windfall these last couple of years, but it is terrible timing. And you know, it could go both ways. I think, look, if you're a season-long Anthony Davis owner, and certainly the DFS guys are going to be on Anthony Davis in the weeks to come, but it could have an adverse effect in the long term, Scott, because he could get worn out a little bit.
Exactly.
He's an elite talent, Scott, but he could get worn out. Exactly. He could be the usage rate gets to a point where it's a point of diminishing returns.
Yeah, historically, this has been like one of the worst injuries for an NBA player to suffer. So it's really, really disappointing to see. And this happened when he was trying to go after his own free throw. You know, Boogie's been criticized for lack of effort in the past, and here he is making an apparent lack of effort. And this apparent effort, strong effort, and this happens.
Yeah, he tried to tap back his own missed free throw and just a fluky play. I mean, it could have happened on any play at any point. So, huge disappointment. And he was scheduled to be the starting center on LeBron James's Team LeBron's All-Star team. They had the draft, which I don't know why they didn't televise it. It makes no
sense. And everybody was for televising this. I think the Players Association did not want it to be televised because the Players Association thought it could create some rifts and guys could feel a certain way about where they were to pick. But these guys all make $20 million a year. They would be fine.
Get over it. And
I heard Kyrie Irving was really mad that he got picked last and then realized that he wasn't picked early and then realized it was in alphabetical order.
That's Russell Westbrook. Scott, Westbrook starts with a W.
Westbrook.
Irving starts with an I.
After I edited your stuff all preseason, you're going to tell me 20 hours extra work a week.
You putting in that much content, Corey? He's got to.
I know. I think exactly.
No, it took that long to edit.
Need a raise. So, I guess, but they've grown up their whole lives getting chosen for teams.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Yeah, give me a break. I agree. It should have been a way to just sit. The NBA does an excellent job with television. Turner, the way they broadcast, obviously that studio show being one of the best shows in sports. You see the job that they have done, you know, with the All-Star game, the playoffs. They do an excellent job with TV. Yeah, they dropped the ball on this.
So
NBA TV's got some good programming too. As well. So that's a good point.
Yeah, NBA TV's have watched some good documentaries on there over the years as well. So Boogie will be out. I would imagine you just move AD over to center, and I don't know. Not that it matters because these guys rotate in and out. But
I would say Lou Williams,
Marcus Aldridge.
I say Lou Williams makes the team as the reserve.
Oh, got it.
Well, anyway, Paul George. Paul George makes the team. That's who it is. Paul George.
Do you like the fact that they did it this way, by the way? Choosing up.
I love it.
Scott?
I love it. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, either way.
Everybody has a different opinion. And if somebody loves it like Corey does, I'm not going to sit here and vehemently argue. But, you know, I prefer the old traditional East-West. Maybe I'm just used to it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I used to love watching the NBA All-Star game. When I was growing up.
It's the best All-Star game.
It was. Now it just really got ridiculous.
It's exhibition.
They just don't play any defense at all. I mean, they're scoring 100. They're scoring like 90 points a half. So I get it. They're friends and they're having fun, but it's not real basketball to me. It's as real basketball as nearly the NFL is with the Pro Bowl. They just don't play any defense at all, and I get it that they're trying not to get hurt. So, I don't know. The skills competitions are probably more fun with the NBA than anything else. I saw one of our listeners on Twitter. She kind of hammered the Pro Bowl. Her name's Rhonda. She hammered the Pro Bowl and said that the NHL was the only ones that have figured this out. And I wanted to bring in, if Pete Considori, if you're listening, Pete, if you're listening and you can chime in here, would you agree that the NHL is the only league where you're interested in the All-Star game? Is it something that you actually watch?
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely watch the All-Star game for the NHL. To her point on Twitter, I mean, they're actually playing for something. The winning team gets $1 million. Three-on-three format, so you have an open ice, very fast game, best players in the league. And they're actually trying. So I love watching the skills competition and the All-Star game for the NHL. I think they did it right.
I think Kevin Durant makes $1 million every time he runs down the court.
to be fair. he and Westbrook don't really need the million, but it is kind of fun that they do that. I don't know.
I used to watch baseball a lot growing up, and I still think it's somewhat competitive. There is something at stake. I think some of these guys do have some pride, you know, like when they face certain pitchers or for certain hitters. So I think there is something to be said for baseball still being watchable.
I'm with you. Unfortunately, and I still watch it, but unfortunately, because of the way Major League Baseball is played now in general, the relievers come in just throwing heat, and it's guys you've never seen, in many instances, guys you don't see. So the hitters are at a surprising disadvantage than they normally are. Does that make sense? My logic makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
So the game just, I do watch it, and I agree with you that it is still the closest to the actual sport that they're playing amongst the four major sports. But it is extremely difficult for the hitters now because you have conceivably seven different guys in a row throwing 95 plus and that you haven't really seen play much. So I think it becomes very difficult for the hitters, which is why we've seen extremely low scoring games. But I don't know, Corey, you chime in on the baseball All-Star game. You watch it?
The home run derby is always fun. The actual game, it's played in a time of year where it's absolutely nothing on TV. So it might be on in the background, but I'm not really going to sit there. The early innings when you see some of those batter pitcher matchups that you want to see. But other than that, you know, it's like I said, it's something more that's on. Oh, I can do the home run derby. That's pretty cool still.
Okay, last thing to put a ribbon on the NBA. You think the Cavs are going to turn this around, Scott? They'll figure this all out. LeBron had the weirdest quadruple-double ever last night because he had 11 turnovers, but a triple-double with 11 turnovers the most of his career. You think they're going to figure this out, and or is it all Kevin Love's fault? And he's going to be the same.
Again.
I think it's default to say they will because of the talent, but obviously, you know, there's a lot of things going on. They finally won last night, to their credit, but tweaking the lineup, et cetera, I think they're going to figure it out, but not to the point where they're going to win the East again.
Corey, according to Vegas, the Cavs, I think, have lost more games against the spread than they're one of the worst teams against the spread in the history of the NBA, which means, according to Vegas, they're one of the most disappointing teams in NBA history. This is going back like 35 years of data. So do you think they're able to gonna figure this out and LeBron's just going to get everybody together when it comes to playoff time?
I think it's real tough. I don't know this team. They have four wins since Christmas Day. Old aging roster. No depth on this team. Isaiah Thomas don't look like he fit in well. I think they should move on.
LeBron's got two houses in L.A.
And I think he'll be moving on.
He might be moving.
They need to move him before he leaves them, and they need to move him before he leaves them high and dry again.
All right, we'll come right back and talk prop bets after this. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Bouncing around to different sports today. Different topics. That's what we'll be doing going forward. Obviously, we're going to be talking a lot more baseball. We're going to do that in the third hour. We're going to talk about how the Marlins blew up their entire team. They continue to do so. Big trade with Christian Yelich. It was a couple days ago. They got a 4-for-1 with Yelich, which... you know, considering that it didn't make sense to keep him there, they got pretty good value in Lewis Brinson. We'll figure out what that means for Yelich in Milwaukee and Brinson in Miami and all the other kind of stuff. So we'll talk about that, a little bit about the FSTA draft, which is ongoing. So we'll get into that in a little bit for those of you out there hungry for baseball content. But I want to talk a little bit about the prop bets just because these are fun. They released over 400 prop bets that you can bet on in Vegas. And there's tons to still pour through, and we continue to go through it. And you can bet on virtually anything. But the first one that jumped out to me was Nick Foles passing yards. 245.5. And you can get pretty decent odds on it. Let me just double check what the odds are. But what do you think of that? Over under 245.5 passing yards, Scott.
I think it's probably be over. You know, the Patriots have a bend but don't break defense, so I could see like 275 yards and maybe 280 and one touchdown pass.
Corey, you like that? The Foles over 245.5? I kind of like that Foles over there too.
Yeah, I like that Foles over. I like that. I think he will. I think he will hit that. Obviously, expect him to probably likely be playing from behind, so to have the football in the air more, so I can see that happening.
Pats gave up the 30th most passing yards in the league. Bortles put up a decent number. They do, obviously, a very good job of limiting teams from scoring, but 30th most in passing yards. I kind of like that one. I'll give you another one that I like because you can get really good odds on it. Will one quarter be scoreless? And that is plus 280. So if you put $100 down, you get $280 back. Just one quarter, be scoreless. Corey, you like that?
Oh, that's a tough call right there. At plus 280, though, I'll take a shot on it.
It's minus 360 to say no. So obviously the odds are stacked against you. But
yeah,
I sort of like that. I mean, usually we go with player bets on the props, but I kind of like that one. Will at least one quarter be scoreless? Scott, what are your thoughts there?
I don't see it happening. I see the Patriots. Well, I think whoever has the ball first is going to score here. These teams will be able to move the ball. I think getting in the end zone will be tougher. But then again, for Brady, it never is really. So,
yeah. Anything jump out to you? Either of you, as you're going through this, there's tons that we can go through. But I just want to see if there's anything that jumped out to you guys that you really liked.
I'm looking at some of this quarter scoring, but you cannot really get any good odds. Obviously, the third quarter, will the Eagles, the Patriots, you want to definitely get a Patriot third quarter touchdown. I think you almost certainly see that. So some of these quarter bets is kind of what I'm trying to look through right now.
Yeah, Patriots third quarter touchdown would be an interesting one. You get really good odds, although Brady's such a master at scoring in the last 2 minutes. You get really good odds if there's no scores in the last 2 minutes of the first half. But that's like Brady time. It's literally what he does is he scores at the end of the first half.
I look at rushing yards by Jay Ajayi, 60.5. I'd take the over on that.
Would you take the over there,
yeah,
Scott?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I would take that too. Yeah,
I could
see him breaking off 39 yards on one run, so...
Yeah, I could see that too. I mean, New England on the year, I'd said they were 30th in passing. They were 20th in rushing yards. So teams tended to throw more on them, and they were still 20th in rushing yards. I mean, to give you an example, they were 31st in the league in rushing yards per attempt, 4.7. They only allowed the fifth most rushing attempts, and yet teams were still 20th. They came in 20th in rushing yards, so they really were not efficient at all. The only place they were efficient, and this is a hallmark of Patriots defenses, is that they were efficient in the red zone, and they did not allow a lot of scoring. I like, from a player bet, total receiving yards by Zach Ertz, 58.5. But what's interesting about this in general is that we talk about the Patriots and how they take away your strength. What would you say? I mean, if you were defending them, if you're Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick, Scott, who would you denote as the guy that you have to take away? Is it Ertz? Is it Jeffrey? Is it Ajayi? Who is it?
I would probably say it's Ertz, you know, because then it makes tougher on, I would say, on third downs, et cetera.
Corey, you agree?
Yeah, I would think Ertz is the guy that you take away here. And this is a situation where you want to get Foles in the two to make more aggressive throws down the field, taking the middle field away from him, make them match up with those wide receivers on the outside.
So in that instance, then maybe my Ertz bet over 58.5 is a tough one. I tend to think the cream rises.
I think you have the volume, to get that number, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. Total touchdown passes by Tom Brady. It is 2.5.
Oh.
I think I'm going to go the under there, actually. I think I'll have two. You know, the Eagles have been playing good defense, and they could always hand the ball off near the goal line. So I would be daring and take the under.
What you can do with this, what Vegas does with this too, is they can give you a scale, Corey. So you can bet on the total touchdown passes by Tom Brady being 1.5, and you get a certain set of odds. You can do it at 2. You can do it at 2.5. So you can get all kinds of odds. Your best odds is if you bet, obviously, under 1.5. So that's the best. Your worst odds are if you're betting so actually Vegas thinks that Brady's going to have 3 touchdowns in this one. So that's the toughest odds to go with, I think, there. But interesting ones. Let's see. Let me find some.
James White, 14, was that over 14.5 yards rushing for James White.
He gets those goal line carries, but he could have like 2 carries for 12 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I'd go under.
51.5 for Deion Lewis.
I'd say
I will
over
take
on that.
The over on Deion Lewis there. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady pass attempts, 39.5.
I'm going to say under against that defense.
He would have to be in duress to throw the football 40 times a game, and they could put him under duress. But then he's so calm and cool. That's a close one right there. I'll take the under two slightly.
He's been chucking it a lot in these playoff games. I think he's. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to throw it over 40 times. I would take the over.
I think like Corey says, they have to be playing from behind to have him throw over 40 times, and I doubt outside of 3-0. That they are ever going to be behind in this game. I just think they're that much of a better team than the Eagles.
You do?
Yeah.
So, did you pick... You picked the Eagles when they played the Falcons, right? I think you're the only one that got them, right?
Yeah, I did. Yes. Yes.
I was going to say, because I'm probably going to pick against the Eagles a third time in a row. So, I think partly because I sort of think what you think, and partly because in the back of my mind... if I keep betting against the Eagles, maybe they keep winning and they can knock off the Pats here. So I'm torn by that. I don't want to see the Patriots win. I would like to see the Eagles knock them off. But in any event, I tend to agree with you because I think they're going to win. But I still think Brady, I think they could be in front and throwing the ball that many times. Like the Eagles do a good job of locking them down in the first half. Maybe they just have to attack through the air. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be ineffective or they'll be down to have him throwing the ball 40 times.
I agree with that, Mike. I think it makes perfect sense. So they decide they can put the pedal to the metal on them, and you know how the Patriots do. So I can see that scenario playing out also. So that's what makes it so intriguing.
So the over-under is, we didn't even start with the largest ones. The over-under is 48 right now. Would you suspect that this will be an over game or an under game?
I'm going to think it's an under game because I think the Eagles might have some difficulty punching the end zone here and there, but also they have a good defense themselves. So I'm going to take the under.
I think I got to go with the over. I think it hits the over. I think we get some fireworks in this one.
There's no way you're picking the Eagles, Corey. I know that. So
I'll pick the Eagles to cover.
Okay. So you're gonna
I think you should pick the Eagles because you've wanted them to be eliminated, and every time you pick against them, they win.
Same.
So if you use the reverse psychology, they'll lose, Corey.
I'm picking them to cover the point spread. I could care less if they win or lose.
So
I'm not. I don't have no rooting. I have no rooting. I'm taking the 4.5 points. I have no rooting interest. I will have no emotions as I watch this football game between these
Scott,
two.
Scott, do you have a prediction on this one?
I'm going to say Patriots 24, Eagles 20.
So Pats win by an identical score. They won the AFC Championship game. Corey, I'm going to make you pick now.
33-31.
Whoa. Pats?
Pats, 33-31, Pats.
So that's a very high – that would be a hell of a Super Bowl. I mean, they both could be. The Eagles-Pats game the last time, 15 years ago, whenever it was, 13 years ago, was a close score, but the Pats had a cushion there. You know, the Eagles kind of ran out of time. Reed didn't exactly manage the clock to his – the best of his ability, which is a hallmark of Andy Reid teams. But all right, I'll figure out the score. I'm going to give my prediction when we came back. I didn't know
that could change by next week, Mike. Remember that.
This is true. All right, we'll come back. We'll close out the hour, and we're going to talk baseball in hour number three. It's Mike, Scott, and Corey on the Roto Experts back after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Close out hour number two on the Roto Experts. I've talked about a lot of different topics today. We're going to talk baseball in hour number three. One quick story I just saw. It looks like Eli Manning and the Giants have like mended fences here. And Eli's excited to work with Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur thinks Eli's got a couple of years left. So, I mean, what do you make of this, Corey?
Yeah, it looks like the Giants don't want to draft a quarterback in the first round. You obviously know what that can be. Maybe they, you know, playing chicken. They have the number two pick in the draft. This is a good spot to trade down, as the all-in kid always mentions. Probably the best place in the draft to trade down. So, obviously, it'd be a targeted person. Somebody looking to come up and get their guy, that's the spot to get him at, is that second draft pick. So maybe they look at it from that way and say, you know what? We got a system here. We can get a running back in here. We can get Eli coached up. We can see with the situation, we'll have a healthy Odell. Can you turn this around quickly? Defense is going to have to play better than the play down the stretch. But the defense probably more than likely gave up down the stretch. So it needs to be a quarterback in place in case Eli Manning struggles, though. That quarterback, we don't know who that's going to be. That's going to be interesting to see. I don't think they go into the year with just Eli.
It's tough to have a lot of confidence in Eli for 2018, Scott, certainly from a fantasy standpoint.
Well, I think, you know, when they have a year like you do, it's easy to blame the quarterback. The quarterback always gets so much of the blame. But, you know, I said this yesterday on the Fantasy News Desk. You know, I watched an extensive film breakdown with Kurt Warner on the NFL Network last year that really revealed that Eli can still make all the throws. He didn't have the pass catchers. He didn't have the blocking. So I think that savvy NFL observers know that Eli still can possibly have something left here.
Yeah, I'm not one of the people that was trying to throw dirt on Eli's career. I thought it's a result of a weak offensive line, and I mean, he lost four pass catchers. So, is he what he used to be? Probably not, but I do think that there is potential for a twilight act here in his career. So we'll see how he works with Pat Shurmur. I wanted to bring in our producer, Pete Considori, because he's got a show coming up later today to the producers from 2 to 4. That's with Kevin Walsh and Chris Pavona. Pete, what do you guys got on the docket today? And I'm assuming you're going to be talking some NHL All-Star Game, because I know you guys are hockey fans.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be talking about NHL All-Star Game. We're talking about Brad Marchand and his 5-game suspension and how he's able to still participate in the NHL All-Star Game. We're going to be talking about the Super Bowl. We're doing our Fantasy Producers Movie Club. This week we're talking about the Benchwarmers. And then we're also going to be doing rankings of our top three concerts we've been to.
Give me a preview of what's one of your top three.
One of my top three, Slipknot at Jones Beach. fantastic show. They really know how to put on a great atmosphere and great show, especially at Jones Beach, a beautiful venue.
It is a great venue, but I know very little about their music.
Summer Jam 1990, Summer Jam 1998.
That was yours?
Yeah, that was mine.
One of your top threes?
One of my top three, Summer Jam 1998. It was at the it was still indoors at this time. It was at the Meadowlands. It was at the Meadowlands. It was the closing act was the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Scott, it can't be a Kiss concert. Give me another top.
Oh, yes, it is.
It can't. No, I'm telling you, no Kiss.
Because those are like the top 15 right there.
I understand.
Can I say no Kiss Fraley concerts. Solo? No Kiss concerts? Let's see.
Yeah, a
Kiss. Run DMC in Madison.
Related to Kiss.
The Run DMC Raising Hell Tour in Madison Square Garden.
Most
in 1996.
That would be their number one.
LL Cool J, Timex Social Club, Beastie Boys, Houdini, but overall Kiss reunion tour, Miami Arena, 1996.
One at Madison Square Garden would be most people number one. That's the one where Jam Master Jay took
it
off the
crack. It can't crack.
Took off
top,
the sneaker.
Scott's top 20 because he's got 47 Kiss concerts in front of it.
Yep. That's the classic My Adidas show.
But that's a good one. That's a good one. I got some good ones. I've been to some good shows. You two, Joshua Tree back in the day. Dave Matthews concerts. I've been to a lot of stuff. So I asked you guys a question. I don't even have an answer. Come back in hour number 3 and talk baseball after this.